We're going to read now from Luke and chapter 19 in the New Testament. And we're just going to read Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, and that's on page 1053. Let us read God's word. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading of his own true word. Turn with me back to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. This is the key verse in the whole passage. It's the sort of the summary of it all. It's the point of it all. It's the part that we need to focus on the most. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." In 2016, those are the most recent figures I could get, there were 436 incidents that required search and rescue teams on Scottish mountains. And the busiest coast guard, I'm told, in the whole of the UK is in London. It's miles away from the sea. But at any time of the year, there are people falling into the Thames that need rescuing. There are search and rescue teams all over our country working hard to save people's lives. Helicopters helping people stuck on mountains. You've got lifeboats pulling people out of the rivers, the lochs, and the sea. They do an incredible work, these heroes, and often in difficult conditions, with someone's life at stake. We don't often use the phrase "to seek and to save." It's mostly used when we're talking about Jesus, but it's pretty similar to the phrase "search and rescue." Well, we learn from this passage that Jesus is in the business of search and rescue, to seek and to save. Verse 10 is so important to understanding this passage, like I said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now, the Son of Man, that was just a title from the Old Testament book of Daniel for the one that has all authority and power. That's what that title means. And Jesus is saying this about himself. He does it loads of times in the Gospels. It's his favorite way to describe himself, the Son of Man. But he's just telling us here what he's all about. This is what Jesus says he came to do. Jesus came to seek and to save. Those are the two things I'd love to look at this morning. That Jesus came to seek and Jesus came to save. It's not rocket science to remember those two points. The clue is the fact that they're written right there in front of you. So hopefully, it's fairly memorable. But first of all, we're going to look at this idea that Jesus came to seek. We meet our man in verse 2, Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector in charge of one of the three main inland tax collection venues in the whole of the country. And here he was in Jericho, in charge of everything. He had it absolutely made. Zacchaeus was the head of a tax-taking corporation which sent out collectors who extorted the people. Basically, Rome had set a tax. Let's say that's 30%. And so everyone had to pay that price to Rome. But these tax collectors, for example, set a price to the people a little above that. Let's say they set it at 35%. And so they're telling the people, you've got to pay 35%. And then they get to pocket the extra 5. They're giving to Rome the 30, but they're keeping the rest for themselves. Zacchaeus was the kingpin of the Jericho tax cartel. And he's filthy rich. This man is absolutely loaded. He's not someone you'd maybe expect for Jesus to look for, to seek. But Jesus tells us he came to seek the lost. And the lost person here is Zacchaeus. But it's here I have a question. Who's seeking who? Who is seeking who? Well, verse 3 has an answer. Zacchaeus was seeking who Jesus was. We're not told why. Maybe he was unsatisfied even with all that wealth. And that happens. Of course it does. Accumulating all that wealth, that drive, that hunger to get more and more money, and it may have left him unsatisfied. Maybe he's sick of everyone hating him. We read in verse 7 that this guy is famous in this town as a sinner. That's what they thought of him. But the only clue we're actually given is simply that he wants to see who Jesus is. He wants to see Jesus. Yeah, he's got all this need inside of him. And he's trying to run away from that unsatisfaction. He's trying to run away from hatred. But he's drawn to who Jesus is. He's wanting to see who this person is. That's what we see in verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was. He's clearly heard about him from somewhere. And he wants to see him. But Zacchaeus has a problem. There are lots of benefits to being short in height. I'm not going to go into them. I don't know them from experience. But seeing over big crowds is not one of those benefits. If you're fairly short and you've ever been at a concert or at a gig of some kind, you can't see half the time. But quite simply, he can't see. You can imagine the people actually were at the same time were pretty happy to box him out. If they all think he's a sinner, if they all think that he is extorting them and cheating them from their money, they're going to make sure he can't see. They're going to, oh, sorry, my elbow is in the way. Oh, is that your foot? And they're just going to block him out. He can't get a look in. Maybe you're here this morning and you're trying to meet this Jesus. You've heard about what he does for people. The amazing things that he's done. Maybe you've heard just about how special and wonderful and loving he is. Maybe you feel like you don't belong. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you don't belong here. You feel that the eyes are on you. But you still want to know more about this Jesus. Maybe you don't really know how to get his attention. But you've come here this morning because you want to put yourself in his path, like Zacchaeus did. You've heard that people meet Jesus when they come and they hear about him. Maybe you want that too. Zacchaeus can't see. He could have easily just gone home. But he keeps on going. Next, we read that all of a sudden, Zacchaeus is sprinting ahead, away from where the crowd is. And he's climbing a tree. This guy is a corrupt official that everyone else had to pay off just to simply get by. And here is this adult, chief tax collector, the head of his whole organization, the CEO of it all, and he's running to climb a tree. In the eyes of the people, that is so shameful. He's climbing a tree like a five-year-old boy. But he wants to see Jesus. So it looks like the answer to that question I asked, who is seeking who, is quite obvious. It's the one that's running, surely. But actually, Luke says it was Jesus. It turns out that Jesus was looking for him. At this time in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was moving towards his death in Jerusalem, and he knew it was coming. He's only 15 miles away from Jerusalem here in the city of Jericho. And he's in the last week of his life. He's only got 6 days to go, and he knows it. You'd think that he'd be too busy for someone like Zacchaeus. But we see that Jesus is here to seek and to save the lost. He's on this street to find Zacchaeus. He didn't walk past the tree. He looked up. You can imagine Zacchaeus nearly falling out of that tree. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. He's not getting free B&B here, Jesus. Staying at your house was, in that society, in that culture, it was a way of saying, let me be your friend. And Zacchaeus understands this, and so does the crowd. They straight away start muttering, they're grumbling, like people do. And they're going, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. He has gone to be the friend of a sinner. They're disgusted by this. How dare he do this? Because all of that, what Jesus said, it implies a relationship, a friendship. But this disgusts the crowd. But Zacchaeus can't quite believe it. He comes down straight away. He welcomes him gladly. And despite what it looked like up until this point of the story, it's actually Jesus seeking Zacchaeus. He knows him. And he has come to find him. I said earlier that Jesus is in the business of search and rescue, to seek and to save. Many of us can think that it's down to us to find God, that God is lost, or that God is hiding from us. And it can feel like that sometimes, that God's hiding from us. And we kind of need to elbow our way to the front to impress the heroes, to impress God. But it's the opposite. It's not God that's lost. It's us. The King of the universe left heaven for us, the lost. He came into this world to risk and to lose his life. Soon, very soon in this book, we're going to see that Jesus is arrested, tortured, cruelly killed, all in order to seek people like Zacchaeus, people who this town had written off as sinners. What makes Zacchaeus such an important encounter with this Jesus is that it's for anyone who assumes that they're the kind of people that Jesus wouldn't be interested in. I don't know the mistakes that you've made in your life. I'm fairly new here still. But you do. You'll notice that Jesus doesn't hit Zacchaeus with the whole, hey, you need to see that you are guilty and evil. He doesn't hammer that home. He does that to the people who are self-righteous, other parts of the gospel, people who don't think that there's anything wrong with them, but he knows that Zacchaeus knows. He knows he already knows that. Look into your own heart. If you know this already, Jesus isn't going to hammer you into the ground with more guilt. He's not in the business of just heaping guilt after guilt on you, that you'd even live the rest of your Christian life with this burden of guilt that everything you do is awful. No. He's looking for you. He's a search and rescue expert who came to find the lost, the sinful, those who had made the mistakes, even corrupt officials, even corrupt and evil people like Zacchaeus. But secondly, Jesus didn't just come to seek. He came to save. Just before this, Jesus told a story. We've got it in chapter 18. You can see it in verse 9 to 14. It's on the sort of same double page if you've got your Bible open. So chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, he tells a story. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, which means one of the most respected religious people in the community, and another tax collector. And the Pharisee went off and stood by himself, and he prayed to God. God, thank you that I am not like other people, like robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. He's basically saying, look at me. Look how much I do for you. Look how impressive I am. The tax collector stands back at a distance. He doesn't feel worthy to come close. He knows his own heart. He knows his mistakes. He knows where he stands before this perfect God. He would not even look up to heaven, it says. And he beats his breast. That sense of frustration with yourself. I'm sure some of us know that feeling. And he simply says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus says so clearly at the end of that part, that story, that passage, this man went home right before God, not the first guy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, and instead, getting the grace that you don't deserve. But when this happens with Zacchaeus, people start grumbling. And the question becomes, how can God let in the bad people? How can he turn away the good people? How dare he do that? Jesus, do you not know who you're having dinner with? Jesus, do you not know what sort of woman this is? But Luke loves to drop in people right throughout his gospel, people that you don't think Jesus would have time for. people were, that were expected to be pushed to the side. Jesus doesn't do that. It goes all the way back, this sort of flow that we have up till this point of this story. It starts in chapter 15, and if you read from chapter 15 onwards, the message of Luke's gospel shows us time and time again, this Jesus welcomes sinners. Time and again, that's the message of these chapters. Zacchaeus climbed up the tree, a sinner. But he encounters Jesus. We have a sinner who wants to be saved, and Jesus tells him all he wants and needs to hear. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I will enter your life today. I will be your friend today. And then he says, after this, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. How did this happen? Because Jesus came to seek and to save. If a lifeboat went out and if it found the person in the sea and they just watched him and it didn't do anything, that's absolutely of no use. The search part is not as important as the rescue part, or rather, both are equally important. They need to save the people. Zacchaeus goes up the tree, carrying his own sin, his own judgment, his own guilt, the punishment that, quite fairly, very fairly, was due for his sin. And that's a pretty big problem. Because if you carry your own sin, then you're in the storm of God's anger. But Jesus has done what is impossible for humans to do for themselves. God sent his son to die for them, for the lost, for us, if you would trust in this Jesus, if you would encounter this Jesus, to take away the punishment for our sins and to make his people perfect, so that we can be in a relationship with him. We're not going to be perfect in this life. We're going to, hopefully, as the Lord works in us and he lives in us, we will sin less. We're not going to be sinless. But one day we will be perfect. That's how God is allowed to show mercy to people. Because Jesus came to save, and the price is already paid. Jesus is bearing Zacchaeus' sin. Jesus' death removes the guilt and the punishment. Zacchaeus stays up where he is, and Jesus steps towards him. Jesus steps in. God can punish me instead. The guilt is gone. Rescue is certain. And Zacchaeus comes down a son. Goes up a sinner, comes down a son. Jesus means to show you what's wrong with you so that he can take it from you. And he wants to change you from being a sinner to a son. Look at the difference that it makes to Zacchaeus in verse 8. Verse 8 is the overwhelming evidence that this really has happened, that he really has been changed, that he is what we call born again. He has new life. He's a new person. Jesus has changed him. And he says, look, Lord, here and now I will give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. This isn't what saved him. Sometimes we can think that repentance is just a change in behavior. But the big change for Zacchaeus is about relationship. Jesus is now in his house, his friend. And Jesus is now his Lord. He says that, verse 8, look, Lord. He's now a son of Abraham. A son of Abraham is just another way of saying a child of God, in a way that they understood, because Abraham belonged to God. So if you're a son of Abraham, you're a child of God. He's not just pulling his socks up and doing better. It's not just Jesus giving him a chance to turn over a new leaf. This would have been impossible for Zacchaeus that morning. But now he's a different person with a new and different relationship with Jesus. That's who the Christian is. So we see the radical change that comes in his life. In the Old Testament, it was considered fair if you gave back the original amount that you stole, plus 20% extra interest. That was what was considered fair. But Zacchaeus gives away 50% of all that he owned and gives back four times as much to the people he had cheated. He's a totally different person, with a radical heart for Jesus and for justice. He's got a loose grip on the things that he once idolized and cared so much about. All this wealth, oh, it's my money, my money, my money. He's now got a loose grip on it because he knows it's not his money, it's God's money, all of it. And he's now got a heart to serve and to give. He's not asking, how little can I get away with giving? He knows there's need. He knows it's not his money. He knows he has wronged people. And he wants to do it. So he gives. He gives. This is the fruit of his new relationship to Jesus. He has a giving life. You could have come in here a sinner like Zacchaeus. Maybe people know your mistakes and your sin. Or maybe you've come in here as a covered up sinner, like the rich young ruler that looked the part, as we read earlier in this book from an earlier chapter. He looks the part, this rich young ruler, but he's got a covered up sin, which is love for money. Either way, you can come in here this morning a sinner, but you can leave here today a child of God, with your sins taken away, your guilt taken care of, gone. Your presence here today could be how Jesus is already seeking for you. And all that's necessary is not some huge seeking after God or trying to polish yourself up, but just to ask God for mercy. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Who's seeking who? It's Jesus, seeking the lost and saving the lost. And what a radical change that makes to our whole lives. Amen. May the Lord bless these thoughts to our heart.